ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد To continue our book Sharh Sunnah by Imam Abu Ibrahim Al-Muzani Rahimahullah, not Al-Muzani as we explained, but the Fath Zai Al-Muzani Rahimahullah. On the fourth point he said, عالٍ على عرشه He said, عالٍ على عرشه في مجده بذاته وهو دانٍ بعلمه من خلقه was talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned his attributes in the notes that preceded this point. So he said, Allah is alim ala arshihi fi majdihi bidatihi wa huwa danin بعلمه من خلقه سبحانه وتعالى. This was the phrase we explained last week. عالٍ على عرشه. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is عالٍ على عرشه. That is high above his arsh. Although we explained that the word علوه when it is employed, it is general. When they say alim, they always say ala khalqihi. Al-Imam al-Muzani combined two things. He combined between general al-am and specific khas. If we say alim, we say ulama say ala khalqihi. But when they say arshihi, they say istawa al-arshihi. So when they use the word arsh, they use the word istawa. When they use the word alim, they use the word khalqihi. But he combined between ulu and al-istiwa. Yani ala khalqihi mutlaq. He rose, is above the entire creatures. Istawa ala arshihi. You see now, he rose above his arsh. But the arsh is above the entire creature. So, uluwuhu, he is being above ala khalqi, the entire creature, is the same thing as istiwa'uhu ala arshihi. He is being mustawin, established high above his arsh. Because his arsh is the highest creature. So if he's on his arsh, above his arsh, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is above his arsh, then he is alim ala khalqihi, high above his entire creature. We also explained that he's being mustawin ala arshihi, high above his arsh, does not mean that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, like king, rests on arsh, like king, sits on arsh. It does not mean that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is resting on his arsh. subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is al-qayyum. He is alone, independent of anything. And the one who sits on a thing is depending on that thing. So he is ala al-arsh, subhanahu wa ta'ala, qayyum. It's above his arsh, but it's not dependent on the arsh. I think this was the point we made. And we tried to explain that this issue of Allah being above his arsh is a major issue regarding our taqwa. We gave an example of taqwa, fear of Allah, consciousness of Allah. If the person is in a supermarket, he knows that the CCTVs are watching. He's careful. A sister would not even want a hijab to touch any of the products. She packs herself and walks in between. Why? Because the TV is watching her. And she would not want, or he will not want any excuse. Now, my clothes mistakenly picked up something. So you are very careful. Even when sometimes people greet you, you are scared of accepting greetings because you wouldn't know what crimes those people have performed. Such that when they accost them, you may be accosted too. So you are extremely careful is the point. What about knowing and having it in mind that Allah is above and is watching us? This is the essence of taqwa. It is also referred to as al-muraqabah, feeling the consciousness of Allah, Allah is with me, and regularly checking the mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. We explained this point in the last class. And then we said the character is bad because this aspect of aqidah is poor amongst many other people. If an individual realizes truly that Allah is watching at him like this, he hears, he sees, he knows, he will be afraid of doing a thing that Allah is displeased with, as he will be afraid to do something like the company that installed a CCTV will be displeased with. So may Almighty Allah make us power people. In continuation of that point, Al-Imam Al-Muzani said, Rahimahullah, أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ وَأَنْفَذَ فِي خَلْقِهِ سَابِقَ الْمَقْدُورِ وَهُوَ الْجَوَّادُ الْغَفُورِ يعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. الإمام فيض رحمه الله أحاط علمه بالأمور وأنصر في خلقه سابق المقدور وهو الجواد الغفور يعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. Said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ وَأَنْفَذَ فِي خَلْقِهِ سَابِقَ الْمَقْدُورِ وَهُوَ الْجَوَّادُ الْغَفُورِ يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompassed, encircled, his knowledge encircled, bil-umur, all affairs, al-umur, amrun, a matter or an issue, umur, issue, al-umur, lil-istidrak, all affairs. أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ. His knowledge encompasses all affairs. Allah knows all affairs. Allah knows all things. He knows all things. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. When you say بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, all things, everything, عَلِيمٍ, he has full knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge. So that phrase of the Quran, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ, is the first evidence for the statement of the Imam. أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ. His knowledge encompasses all. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers all things. In Ayatul Kursi, what did he say to us? He said, Allah. It's one of the ayat of Allah about Ayatul Kursi. There is just one mubtada there. All other statements are akhbar. Allah mubtada. La ilaha illa huwa khabar. Al-hayyu khabar. Al-qayyum khabar. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm khabar. Lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard khabar. In English grammar you say there is subject verb You have subject and predicate sentence structure. There's only one subject. Every other statement there is a predicate or a predicate. That is, they explain and give information about the subject. So we say Allah. He wants to tell us now about himself. La ilaha illa huwa. There is no one that deserves worship. Illa huwa. This dhamir huwa returns to who? Allah. La ta'khudhuhu. This dhamir returns to who? He is not captured. He is not overrun. By what? Sinatun. Precedes those. Does not capture Allah. Wala no. Neither does sleep overcome him. If we say we will not sleep, we want to study, we want to pray, we want to fast, we are sitting waiting. Sometimes we are overrun by sleep. Sleep takes us away. And that is from the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But him, لا تأخذه سنة, because he is الحي. الحي, he lives, we live. But his own hayat is not like ours. His own living is not like ours. We live, die, live, die, we live, die. He is al-hayyu, perfect existence. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live during the day, die during the night. He told us that in the Quran, Surah Az-Zumar. He takes our life. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha. Wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتَى وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ عَجَلٍ مُسَمًى. Since Allah takes life in the night, He takes all our life. For those that He has preordained that that is the end of their time, He holds it. But for those that He has preordained that they still have more time, He releases the life to go back to them. So His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam taught us when we wake up to say, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. But His own hayat does not fluctuate between death and being alive. It is al-hayy, perfectly in existence. Al-qayyum, Allah is independent of anything and anybody. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah is not overpowered neither by those or nor by what? By sleep. Lahu, see, pertains to who? Allah. It belongs to Him. ما في السماوات والأرض. All the entirety of what is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This chapter is a very important one in the issues of Tawheed. It says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is the khabar itself. It is supposed to come with مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَهُ. So he made a taqdeem of لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. And in Arabic grammar, they say تَقْدِيمُ مَا حَقُّهُ التَّأْخِيرُ تُفِيدُ الْحَقُّ. What should come later? If it comes first, it indicates that that thing does not belong to anybody except him. It is supposed to be the same thing in Surah Al-Fatiha. We say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. It is supposed to seek to be نَعْبُدُ إِيَّاكَ. But he placed it forward, إِيَّاكَ, you alone, such that no one else can be worshipped except who? Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, he says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Meaning that, مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا هُوَ. What is in the heavens and the earth, they are not for anyone except who? Allah. So he says, مَنْ ذَلَّذِي مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ. Who is it? مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ. Who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to beg Allah, Allah please forgive these people. Allah forgive them. Who can do that before him? Except that he, Allah, permits that person to do that. We'll come back to Shafa'ah. Then he says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. This ضمير in يَعْلَمُ refers to who? Allah. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. He knows what is before them. وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. And what is behind them. مَا بَيْنَ. All the entirety of what is before them and what is behind them. Ulama say مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ مَا أَمَامُهُمْ مُسْتَقْبَلًا يعني مُسْتَقْبِلُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows مُسْتَقْبَلًا. Tomorrow, what is in the future, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. What is in their front. Tomorrow is in our front. We are saying we'll see tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow. We do this tomorrow, or the next minute, or even Maghrib is tomorrow for us. We are saying we'll do that at Maghrib, we do that at Isha. These issues of ahead, the future, Ya'lam. Allah knows all. For all the creatures in the heavens and the earth, وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. What they left behind, too, He knows it. So when you have a child in the womb, all of the tomorrow of that child is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have a man walking, all of the rest of his life is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the times that he has spent before is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why when we came out of the womb of our parents, yes, we know Allah knows. We know, we have knowledge, humankind have knowledge, Allah has knowledge, but his own knowledge is not like ours. Because our own knowledge is preceded with ignorance. Mankind, we have a time that we don't know something, then we know it. If we argue it, he told us in the Quran, Allahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum, la ta'lamuna shay'a. Allah removed you from the wombs of your mothers. You did not know anything at that time. So the knowledge of mankind is preceded with ignorance. But the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yadhillu rabbi wa la yansa. That was the answer Musa alayhi salam gave to Fir'aun. La yadhillu rabbi. My Lord was never ignorant. La yajhal dalala huna aw dalal huna. This dalal, la yadhillu rabbi, means ignorance. Jahal. Lam yajhal rabbi. My Lord had never been ignorant. Wa la yansa. And he does not forget. But we human beings, sometimes we did not know, and even when we know, after a little while, ignorance comes and takes the knowledge away from us. Forgetfulness. We forget. Allah does not forget. There were periods that we will not know a thing. There is not a period that Allah does not know anything. We may not know the future. Allah knows every future. We may not know what had gone past. Allah knows everything that had gone past. So the knowledge of Allah is not comparable to us. So if for every creature, Allah knows everything that will happen to that creature, the time that those things will happen to the creature, everything that Allah has created, subhanahu. Everything that Allah has created, Allah has full knowledge of those things. When Allah wanted to create Adam alayhi salam, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I want to create successors on the earth. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. The angel said, do you want to create on the earth مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا, who will spread evil on the earth, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ, and wantonly steal blood? Do you want to create people who will spoil the earth and steal blood? Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, how did the malaika know that mankind will steal blood? Because Allah didn't tell us anywhere in the Quran that he told them that they will steal blood. How did the malaika know that Banu Adam will steal blood? How did the malaika know that Banu Adam will cause evil on the earth? He said there is no way they would have known except that Allah informed them. That's why he said, Inni a'lamu, I know more than you. Ma la ta'lamu, what you know not. For if there are amongst them those who will steal blood and cause evil on the earth, there are also amongst them those who will worship me. If there are amongst them those who will steal blood, cause evil on the earth, there are those yusabbihunani, who will glorify me, who will adore me. So that means Allah knew before he created us that some of us will steal blood amongst mankind, some amongst mankind will cause evil on the earth, and some amongst mankind will do good on the earth. So he quickly gave them a practical example with Nabi Adam. And he made them to submit to understand that la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. You see now, we don't know anything except what you teach us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lahu ma ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim, all of what is in the heavens and the earth, including the malaika, ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim, Allah knows what will happen to them tomorrow. Banu Adam, Allah knows what will happen to us tomorrow. Everything that we will do, Allah knows. وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, what we had done in the past, Allah is well aware of it. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And from the things that Allah knows, mankind will not know from it except the little that Allah gives him. So that's why it says, وَمَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ, all of you, the whole mankind, مَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, from his knowledge, he had not given us anything except what, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, except little. It is the qalil that all Banu Adam share. مَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, I have not given you the knowledge of, the knowledge except little. The knowledge of things, take this little, Banu Adam. You all should share it. And that's what we are sharing today. Every person according to how Allah has enabled him. So Allah has full knowledge of us. Al-Imam al-Muzani said, أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ. Ko? أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ. And these are the evidences from the Quran that indicate that Allah's knowledge subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses all things. Before those things happen, after they have happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware. And when he knows subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not forget. And his knowing subhanahu wa ta'ala was not preceded by ignorance. He knew at all times. This is why It is not acceptable that a Muslim plays cheap, plays easy with those that are referred to as Shia. The Shia, I've heard a professor of Islamic affairs saying, you people like disturbing us with Shia and table. He's making a jest of that issue. The Shia, you would have heard about them in Islamic history. Many of the people play easy about that. Don't disturb us, please. Shia, Shia, Shia. Is it not political difference? Here now, whether it is political difference. The Shia have an aqidah, batila, about Allah's knowledge. They say, they refer to it as al-bada. Bada, iza bada laka shay. If something becomes bada to you, it means it became known to you after you had not known it. That's why it says, وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَعْتَصِبُونَ. What they were not expecting from Allah will happen to them when Allah talks about the people of the fire. They will see and know what they don't expect. May Allah protect us. So bada is the masdar of that word. The noun, the verbal noun of that word, bada. A person did not know something, then later he knew it. They say it's one of the attributes of Allah, that Allah has things that he does not know before. It is only after some times when those things happen that Allah knows those things. That is belying these verses of the Quran. When he says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, Allah knows what is in their future and what is behind them. This concept of al-bada that the Shia have indicates that it is belying that verse of the Quran. When Allah says, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا, and certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge encompasses all things. The concept of al-bada'a amongst the Shia belies that verse of the Quran. So now, is it the flimsy issue of Shia and table? Far much more than that. Because they attribute ignorance to Allah. So when Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was telling Fir'aun that لا يضل ربي, my Lord had never been ignorant, ولا ينسى, and my Lord never forget, they are saying Allah was ignorant. So Musa alayhi salam did not know what he was saying, subhanallah. And he is Rasul Rabbil Alameen, sent to Jabbar min Jababiratil Ard, one of the oppressors on the earth. And Musa is telling him about Allah. And then Musa is saying, my Lord had never been ignorant. But the Shia said there were times that Allah didn't know things. He would only know them after those things had happened. Some of the people may say, who said so about them? Who said so about the Shia? They say so themselves. One of their very popular and early scholars was the one they refer to as Al-Kulayni. He has a book he calls Usulul Kafi. Usulul Kafi, anyone who is conversant with Shia, that is like their Sahih al-Bukhari. Usulul Kafi is like Sahih al-Bukhari in the Shia. In Usulul Kafi, Al-Kulayni reported a chain of reports. And it ended in a text that I will read to us now. It said in it that مَا بَعَثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيًّا إِلَّا بِتَحْرِيمِ الْخَمْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never raised any prophet إِلَّا بِتَحْرِيمِ الْخَمْرِ, except that prophet should declare that alcohol is prohibited. وَأَنْ يُقِرَّ لِلَّهِ الْبَدَاعِ, and that prophet should affirm, should explain to the people, should affirm Allah having al-bada, that is Allah having the attributes that sometimes he would not know a thing until it happens, then it becomes known to him. It's in Usul al-Kaf. There are other similar reports. They say, لو علم الناس ما في القول البداء من الأجر ما فتروا عن الكلام فيه. if the people know the great reward that is contained in Al-Bada, ma qataru anil kalami fihi, they will not stop talking about it. They will not stop saying, Allah did not know some things, then He knew it later. Allah, you say, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah knew everything in the future of events and what will happen behind or what had happened before those events. Allah has full knowledge of all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will understand the deviation in that. Unfortunately, these same people who say this concept, who hold this view of Al-Bada, they believe that their imam knows know all things. Their imam, like Khomeini al-An, is considered as one of their imams. They believe that they know all things. Also in Usul al-Kafi, they say, after bringing chain of reports, in it it says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. A creature says, I know all of what is in the heavens and the earth. The Shia say this from their book. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ, they refer to Ja'far al-Sadiq. But Ja'far al-Sadiq himself disconnects himself from them. There are a lot of reports regarding that. They say Ja'far al-Sadiq, that they consider as one of their leading imams. Some of them believe that he will come back at the end of time. They say that he says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, I have the most knowledge of everything in the heavens and the earth. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ, and I know everything that is in Al-Jannah and in the fire. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونَ, and I have the knowledge of what had happened in the past and what will happen in the future. But what does Allah say? لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. These are from the attributes of Allah, nobody shares with Him. The only one who knows everything that had happened in the past and everything that will happen in the future is who? Allah. By those verses of the Quran and a lot of ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So we should understand, when you hear Shi'ism, it is more than the picture people paint. Allah has full knowledge of all things. So statements like these, that ahata ilmuhu bil umur, ahata ilmuhu bil umur, will refute those statements from the people of deviation. We also have, apart from the Shia, those who went astray regarding the knowledge of Allah. And those referred to as Al-Qadariya. Qadariya. Qadar, you make nisbah of Qadar. That is, you ascribe Qadar to them. Why? Because they deny the Qadar. They say there is nothing like Qadar. That popular hadith we know in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab, بينما نحن جلوس عند النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب. We remember this hadith. That hadith was mentioned while some tabi'un came to Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما أبو عبد الرحمن to explain that some people in Basra have started to deny that Allah has knowledge of things before they happen. Those people were led by Ma'bad al-Juhani. Ma'bad al-Juhani was in Basra at the time. The ulama say in Basra at that time, he is one of the most learned of the people in Quran. He was one of the most learned of the people in Arabic grammar. Those are the people that people follow. When he's versed in the Quran, he's versed in Arabic grammar, people, they have substance for him. And there were companions like Anas ibn Malik in Basra at the time. And yet Ma'bad al-Juhani was saying that there is no Qadr. He was rejecting Qadr. Because the first two levels of Qadr, the first level, we should explain that and come back to Ma'bad. The first level of Qadr, Ikhwan, is that Allah knows all things. The first thing about Qadr, all things are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the evidences for that are some of those verses we had read. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And then what we explain between the conversations between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the malaika before He created Adam alayhi salam. All these things prove the fact that Allah has knowledge of future events. The first level of Qadr is that Allah has full knowledge of what will happen tomorrow. Every tomorrow, till when there will be no tomorrow, and after when there will be no tomorrow. Because the time is come when there will be no tomorrow. The day will be one and forever. When the people of Al-Jannah go to Al-Jannah and the people of Jahannam enter Jahannam, there will be no tomorrow. It is na'imun mukim or azabun mukim aydan. It's either continuous enjoyment in Al-Jannah, may Allah count us amongst them, or continuous punishment in Jahannam, may Allah protect us from it. So the days will continue like that. So Allah has full knowledge of all things. Al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he threw a poza in his book, Al-Qawl al-Mufid, Bishahi Kitab al-Tawheed. He said, there's hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood. We all know the hadith. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are issues on it, regarding the meaning of the expressions, according to the science that they take. When Allah created, but we leave at that. So that our discussion does not become complex. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen, so Allah asked it, that pen is the pen Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Qalam. Noon wal-qalami. Allah swore with that pen. When Allah created that pen, Allah commanded it, uktub, write. That pen, you know, Allah talks to things that we think cannot be talked to. Allah talked to the heavens and the earth, and they spoke to Allah. Qalata ataina kha'inin. Or ataina kha'inin. Allah spoke to the heavens and the earth. And they spoke, they replied. And the earth will still speak to Allah, and Allah will still respond. In Zalzal, Allah made us understand that. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ. The earth will explain, it will say its own truth. Our hands will speak, our eyes. What did he say? يَوْمَ الشَّرُ أَحْدَاهُ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّارِ وَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ حتى إذا ما جاءوها شهد عليهم سمعهم وبصرهم وجلودهم بما كانوا يكسبون وقالوا لجلودهم لما شهدتم علينا قالوا أنطقنا الله محل الشاهد. Allah made us to speak. So Allah commanded the pen. You pen, right? The pen asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Lord, ماذا ربي ماذا أكتب what will I write. Allah says أكتب ما يكون حتى تقوم الساعة. Write what will happen until the hour will be established, the last hour. Write what will happen from now till when the time when the hour will be established, the last hour. So Sheikh Uthaymeen asked rahimahullah, does this mean that the pen wrote everything in the knowledge of Allah? The answer is no, it did not. Because some things had been happening before Allah created the pen. And Allah told the pen to write what will happen up to the time the last hour will be established. And after the hour is established, there are still many other events Allah told us about. So what the pen was asked to write is what will happen from that moment until Sa'ah. What was happening before that is in the knowledge of Allah. It was not written down in Lawil Mahfuz. What will happen after the hour is established is in the knowledge of Allah. It was not written down. So it is not everything in the knowledge of Allah that was written down by the pen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But from then till the last hour, everything is written in the pen, in the book. So the fourth level of Qadar is what? Al-ilm. It is from that knowledge that we have what? Al-kitabatu, writing down. Because the column was writing from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second level of Qadar is what? Al-kitaba. The first level of Qadar is that Allah knows everything that will happen in the future. The second level of Qadar is that all these things that will happen in the future up to the time the hour will be established had been written down. That is also mentioned in the Quran. In Surah Hud, Allah said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. So here he's talking about two things together. مَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There is not a creature on the earth, إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, except that it depends on Allah for its sustenance. There is not a creature on the earth. The chameleon, as slow as it is, what Yorubas refer to as oga, does it eat or not? Does the chameleon eat or not? As slow as it is. It means that not being fast does not mean that you will not have something to eat. And it does not also mean that when you are fast, that is when you have something to eat. Allah is Razzaq, Ar-Raziqu, Ar-Razzaq. Allah is the one who provides for all creatures. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we were in the womb of our parents, as we grew in the womb, Allah was preparing food for us. The day we come out of the womb, the food is ready too. As the mother is growing, the child is growing in the womb of the mother, the breast milk is being formed. On the day the child is born, the breast milk is ready. That time that you cannot move your hand and move your legs. The one that provides food for you that time, is he not capable of providing food for you now that you can move your hand and legs? So when the child comes out of the womb of the mother, بِإِذْنِ رَبِّنَا إِخْوَانَ, by the permission of Allah, as the child puts the mouth to suck, who told the child suck? So Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ مَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is not a creature on the earth except that the arzak, the sustenance that that creature will sustain with, Allah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, and this is our point of reference, وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَ. يَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا, where we will end. Allah knows it. وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا, where we are coming from. Allah knows it. The place we left, we said bye-bye to. مُسْتَوْدَعَ. You make it see that. Bye-bye. Allah is aware. مُسْتَقَرَّهَا, where we will land. Allah is aware. He says, كُلُّن سِيَعْلَمُ. So the first level of Qadar is what? Al-ilm, knowledge. The fact that Allah knows all things that will happen in the future. And the second level of Qadar is what? الكتاب. He says كل في كتاب مبين. All of those things I had documented them. They are written. They are written. They are documented. They are preserved. That is the meaning of al-mahfuz. Something that is preserved. It is not seen. We don't see it. He has it in his secret compilation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have two things about Qadar now. The first level of Qadar is what? Al-ilm. The second level of Qadar is what? Al-kitaba. The fact that Allah has written down all things that will happen in the future. Those that happened yesterday before we were born, since that time the issue of the column, since when the column was created. There's an issue that is the column the first thing Allah created, or what is the first thing Allah created? Before the column, Allah had creatures. Amongst them was water. Allah had created water before He created the column. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. So He had also created al-arsh. Al-arsh was created before the column. Water was also created before the column. So أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ أَوَّلِيَّةُ نِسْبِيَّةُ. It's a relative first. It's relatively the first thing Allah created. It's not, it is not definitely the first thing Allah created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, dear brothers and sisters, the first thing about Qadar is that Allah has full knowledge of all things. So sometimes when we say, Qadarani, it is Qadar, what we are saying that Allah had already known that it will happen. Interpretation one. Interpretation two, when we say, Qadarani, it means Allah had already written it down. So Ma'bad al-Juhani and his people deny that Allah knows and writes down what will happen in the future. They deny these two aspects of Al-Qadr. And the ulama, including Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam al-Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, Qatibatan, but Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said in Kitab al-Iman that the ulama have a consensus that they are kuffar. Because Abdullah ibn Umar told them that لو أنفق أحد منكم مثل أحد ذهبا, if anyone amongst you spends the life of Mount Uhud as gold in sadaqah, Allah will not accept it from him. The person that Allah will not accept sadaqah that he makes is who? A kafir, because of his kufr. Do we know that when a kafir is benevolently giving in charity, if the person does not have iman, it is like somebody who wants to enter the university and he does not have mathematics and English. He says, I have A throughout. Math in call F9. I don't know whether they still use that code now. English in call F9. He says, but sir, all the rest of my papers are A1. What will happen to that result? They say, come back another year, not this year. So any person that is doing khair, doing charity, doing benevolence, being nice to people, he does not tell lies, he's doing character, he will only get the reward if he has iman. If he does not have iman, he does not have the check to be able to cash the money. If he wants to be able to cash the money, he has to have iman. There are narrations in books of hadith about this issue and in verses of the Quran. Because Allah will say, حَبِثَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. All their deeds will be wasted. The meaning of waste is that no reward. It will not benefit the person who did it. The issue is Allah's knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, encompasses the issues of the past, encompasses the issues of the future. And from the aspects of Qadr is to believe this. Allah has full knowledge of all things, and that these things that Allah has knowledge of, some of them we are written down. I hope we understand what I mean by some of them now. We are written down in the records, and the records are kept with Allah. That is the second category of Qadr. And this is these two things we are the things that Ma'bad al-Juhani and his disciples rejected. They don't believe that Allah knows a thing before that thing happens. They don't believe it. They don't believe that Allah has written it down. Amr ibn Ubayd, one of them, one day he was explaining, he was shouting and saying, there is no Qadr. So one of the tabi'u tabi'in said to him that in hadith al-sadiq al-masduq, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had said, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ. We know that hadith. That إِنَّ أَهْدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً كُمْ نُطْفَةً ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَقَةً مِثْلَ قَالِ. That hadith. It is called Hadith الصادق المصدوق. It was reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. That hadith, it got to a point where it says, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ. The fetus in the womb, thereafter, after 120 days, go after the third 40 days, Allah will send a malak, an angel, to the womb, to that child. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَةٍ. That malaika will be commanded to do four things. بِكَتْبِ رِزْكِهِ, to write كَتْبِ. To write, يعني بِكِتَابَتِ, to write رِزْكِهِ, all his arzak, the air he will breathe, the water he will drink, the food he will eat, the blood that will be produced in his white and blood cells, whatever. All of what he will enjoy from the arzak of Allah will be written down for him. وَأَجَلِهِ, his life span. وَأَمَلِهِ, what kind of work will he do? وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ, and whether he will be a wretched person or a successful person. May Allah count us amongst the successful. Amr ibn Ubayd said it is a lie. So they said that hadith was reported from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said it's a lie. He said that hadith was told to him by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, لَوْ لَكِيتُ النَّبِيَّ, if I had met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَكَذَّبْتُ, I would have said that this one that you said, it was, it's a lie. Amr ibn Ubayd said so. They said, but the Prophet himself was not saying it from his desire. Because Allah says, مَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, it was وَحْيُ, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. He said, لَوْ لَكِيتُ اللَّهَ لَقُلْتُ لَهُ لَيْسَ عَلَىٰ هَذَا أَخَذْتُ الْمِيثَاقِ. If I meet Allah, I will tell him that, look, the agreement between me and you is not this one that you are saying. Those people in Islamic history are referred to as al-Qadariyatu, those who deny that there is no Qadar. You may say, do they still exist? Yes, they still exist. There is somebody, if I mention his name, the whole of us here will know him. He rejects Qadar till we left. We always argue, you'll be arguing that there cannot be Qadar. We will be saying that there is Qadar. Well, non-Muslim, Alaji, he does not believe that there is anything called Qadar. When Allah says, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, he does not believe. And what do they reject in Qadar? How can you say Allah knows a thing before it will happen? But Allah says, I know them before they happen. They say, how can you say Allah wrote it down? Allah says, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ, what happens is in the book already before it happened. So the two things you reject, Allah told you that I did it. He said, I know, and I wrote down. His messenger came and told us that the pen wrote. So that is why if a person's knowledge about the knowledge of Allah is not well grounded, that Allah's knowledge is the knowledge of the future. Allah's knowledge is the knowledge of the past. He knows the past. He knows the future. And Allah's knowledge was never preceded with what? Ignorance. And Allah's knowledge will not be overrun by what? Forgetfulness. Very important in the issues of the knowledge of Allah. Allah knows tomorrow. Allah knows yesterday. And what he knows? La yansa. He will not forget. وَلَا يَظِلُّ, and he had not been at a time that he did not know. That was why we mentioned these two groups of people. Those amongst the Shia and those amongst the Qadariya. So for us, أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ. Go back to our books. کہ امام سید رحمہ اللہ احاط علمہ بالامور the knowledge of Allah covers all things. احاط علمہ بالامور the knowledge of Allah covers all things. I think that expression is now clear. The knowledge of Allah covers all things. He knows the future of all things. He knew the past of all things. His knowledge was never preceded with ignorance. And his knowledge will not be barren with what? Forgetfulness. أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ وَأَنْفَضَ فِي خَلْقِهِ سَابِقَ الْمَقْدُورِ We said that the first and the second level of Qadr is the fact that Allah knows all things. Quote, the second level is that Allah wrote down all things. So, أَنْفَضَ فِي خَلْقِهِ He implemented amongst His creatures سَابِقَ الْمَقْدُورِ What He had already preordained. سَابِق What had come forward. Al-Maqdur amongst the preordainment. What he is saying is that what Allah had preordained, what Allah had predecreed, what is the meaning of Allah preordaining and predecree? The meaning is that Allah has known that that thing will happen. The second level, Allah had written it down. So Al-Maqdur are those things Allah had written down according to His knowledge. And those things cannot happen in a way that will contradict His knowledge. So they are called what? Sabiqul Maqdur. Sabiq Al-Maqduri. What had been preordained before. Sabiq. What He had preordained. Sabiqul Maqdur. Ordainment, sabiq pre maqdur, ordainment. So sabiqul maqdur, those things that will happen before they happen. And all things before they happen, he had known them and he had written them down. Meaning that those things now happen according to his knowledge and writing. I hope this matter is clear. Everything that happened, Allah had had a knowledge of it before they happened. And Allah has written it down that that is how it will happen. So He says, وَأَنْفَضَ فِي خَلْقِهِ سَابِقَ الْمَقْدُورِ نَفَضَ He implements. Allah implements those things in His knowledge and in what? In His writing. In His Lawh al-Mahfuz. That is what He will implement amongst His creatures. Very important. What happened had been known by Allah. What happened had been written down. Let's take a verse of the Quran that explains that. In Surah Al-Hadid, Allah says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا There is not an affliction. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ There is no affliction that happens on this earth. وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ Or something that happens to you. And things happen to us. Don't things happen to us? Things happen to us, either as individuals or as a people. Things happen. Afflictions. Things we would have wanted other than it to happen. We would have preferred that the opposite happen. Although the ulama explained that even in that our preference is because we don't have sufficient knowledge. Otherwise, we would have preferred what happened to us. When a thing happens to us, we don't like. If we have the full knowledge of the hikmah why those things happen to us, we would have said, Alhamdulillah, that it happened. But because our knowledge is short, brief, not much. So what we could think of what has happened is not far. We are, like grammar people say, all usually preposterous about our thoughts about Muqaddis. Funnily, I'll give you two examples. A person misses a flight and is going to where he's going to pick a $100,000 check. Is it good for him or bad? A person is traveling to pick a $100 check in Lagos. They say the flight time is 7 p.m. He got to the airport at 7:00 and he saw the plane going like this. Is it good or bad? So him is bad. Is it good or bad? And as he sat down saying, hey, Yoruba to say, hey. Go. In the north, my brother has to say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. The origin of people affects what they do a lot. So as he say, inna lillahi, he heard that the plane blew up in the sky. He was saying, oh, subhanallah. Will he change that subhanallah to alhamdulillah? Yeah. It meant that time that he was worried that he had missed the flight, if he had known what will happen after that time, he would have been happy. So things happen to us we don't like. But they are the best things that could have happened to us. Al-Imam Abu Abd al-Rahman, Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani rahimahullah, he was in prison for 1 year in a place called Qal'a in Damascus. On the day he was taken to the prison, he had a Bible with him and a copy of Sahih Muslim. It was within that 1 year that he did a mukhtasar of Sahih Muslim. So he's been in the prison. Was it good for him or bad? So what we refer to as shar, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen in his Al-Qawl al-Mufid, بشرح كتاب التوحيد and also in his sharh of العقيدة الواسطية what we say خيره وشره in قدر. The shar is with respect to us. We are the ones thinking that it is shar. وإلا Allah does not do shar. But because we don't have sufficient wisdom to understand why those things happen, we say it is shar. So it is shar regarding us. Well, with respect to Allah, all his maqdurat are khayr. So when we say khayrihi wa sharihi, with respect to us, because we could not understand more than that. That's why we think that it is shar. Otherwise, asharu laysa ilayk. The Prophet was making dua. So he said, asharu, evil, laysa ilayk, cannot be ascribed to you, O Allah. We cannot ascribe evil to you. Even though what we will call evil was created by who? Allah. Because Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Allah is the creator of all things. Those ones you will call khayr, and those ones you will call evil. And how many things do we call khayr? But because of our small knowledge, we didn't know that they are shar. How many things do we call khair, khair, khair? And then it is actually shar. But because we don't know much, Allah says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Evil has spread on the earth and in the seas. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِنَا. Because of what the hands of the people have earned for them. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُهُ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that they can taste some of what they have done. Perhaps they may do what they may turn back. Aha! So if Allah punishes some people sometimes, He wants them to make tawbah. So He's punishing them with afflictions. Is it good or bad? Why? Because what will happen after it is good. And it will make them seek to be good. But this is the Zahar al-Fasad. That's why he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. Perhaps you detest it and you hate something. وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And Allah puts tremendous good in that thing that you dislike. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ. Allah is the one who knows. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You don't know anything. It means it is because we don't know much. That's why we think good is bad or bad is good. Let me quickly go that to that extent. This verse was sent down regarding issues of talaq. So when a man wants to divorce his wife, he's seeing in her something that he dislikes. Or when a woman is saying, I will leave the house of my husband, she's seeing in him something that she dislikes. Perhaps this woman that you are disliking, يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Tomorrow Allah will put tremendous good in her for you. So keep your wife. Keep your wife. Likewise, women will say, oh, after this, I'm going to my father's house. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. Perhaps something will happen tomorrow. Everything will change. So it means this, our small knowledge that we are carrying about, we have to understand that it is little. It will make us believe Allah more. Because sometimes some things we look somehow, say, hey, Afa, I give you an example. The Sharia repeatedly says that people should not rise against government, people should not abuse rulers, people should not do this. People say, ah, why should we not abuse? Why should we not do this? If we now keep silent, things will be bad. If you just knew that in a little while, Allah will remove him and put another one, he will not do that. And how many times has Allah himself removed leaders and put new people there without we shedding one single blood? We've been in this country. There were presidents in this country that everybody feared. Everybody. Everybody was afraid. In fact, when you sleep in your room, you would think that you had a gun on by your head. When Allah's time was up for that government, when that time, government's time was up, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he just took the man away. No one gunshot. No gun was fired. He wasn't even sick before. So that I can say, I fell over. Because Yoruba people, your dead body does not die on the ground. Cool? It, something must kill him. Yoruba. Otiku kilopa. Allah lopa. Okay, kube, Allah kill him. Yoruba, something must kill somebody. You might not die. Oh, now we're thinking that. This is the way of the Yoruba. All the souls are with Allah subhanahu. He's the one who takes life. And that's why you would have seen things that has killed other people that did not kill some people. I was in the National Eye Hospital sometime about 4 or 5 years ago. Somebody was shot by armed robbers in his eyes. He did not die. They made an operation and removed the bullet from his eyes. Eye. And somebody was shot on the hand. He died. The one that was shot in the eyes did not die. I saw the man. The doctor who operated him told me what he did. So he removed the bullet from his head. He was attacked by armed robbers. He did not die. So who killed somebody? God or Allah? Wallahi, Allah kills people. Even the last month we heard about Sheikh Al-Albani's death in Zaria. His wife died on the spot. She was shot in the hand. He was shot 13 times. He did not die until he got to the hospital. And he will continue to say, Wallahi, Mutani Ansu Cheni. Those people, they have cheated me. Allah Ya Isa. Allah will judge between us. So one of the students said, Mala, leave that one. Kache la ilaha illallah. So he stopped saying, they cheated me. They said, continue saying, people say, Kai, these people, they cheated me, Wallahi. And Allah will judge between me and them. Meanwhile, he was having 13 bullets with him. His wife just had bullets on her hand, she had died. So who killed somebody? Allah yatawaffal anfusa. Allah is the one who takes souls. And when that time has not reached, the person will not die. What we are saying is that the qadar of Allah is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth stage of it is the fact that Allah knows everything that will happen tomorrow. The second stage of it is that what will happen tomorrow is already documented with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happens is the implementation of that knowledge and the writing. What happens is the implementation of that knowledge and the writing. This is what the Imam says, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Abu Ibrahim al-Muzani, he said, أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِالْأُمُورِ. His knowledge encompasses all things. وَأَنْفَذَ فِي خَلْقِهِ. And he implemented amongst his creatures سَابِقَ الْمَقْدُورِ. Those things that he had already predetermined. How did he predetermine it? He knew that they would happen and he had documented them. وَهُوَ الْجَوَّادِ. Allah is the benevolent giver. Funny. Benevolent giver. His giving does not have an end. Even the one that does not believe in him, he gives him. Kafir. Allah provides oxygen for him. Kafir. Allah gives him oxygen. Allah makes him see. Allah makes him be able to eat food. I know somebody who works with the NMTC. He can't put food in his mouth. He has cancer of the throat. So they dug something inside his womb. They put cocoa there. He can't taste food. The food that he tastes, I say, oh, no, it is sweet. It is not in his own account. Because he has cancer on the throat. So he cannot put food in his mouth. Except the day he wants to kill himself. So he has a tube. The doctor who operated it told me, he has a tube, he puts it, and he lives 2 streets away from where I live, the man. So he puts food in his. That one too is a favor from Allah. Yes. It's another favor from Allah. For that tube, akamu, koko, say that he can put there, he'll be saying what? Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. Because his eyes are still there. His ears are still hearing. His nostrils are still there. 2 days ago, I saw a man. He had an accident, I think. The two nostrils are co-joined like this. I was wondering, from where does he breathe? So when you breathe, you take water, you can say the water is cold. You take water, you can say it is hot. Hot tea. I want hot tea. I want hot amala. You should know that wallahi, Allah has favored you. Allah has favored us. So Allah is what? Al-Jawad. Giver. He gives without end. If he didn't give you money, he gave you that one. And money cannot buy. Can money buy cancer? Even the richest people on the earth, cancer kills them. Cancer killed the wife of a president we knew in our country. If it were that cancer can take money, I'm sure Badamasi Babangida will pay for his wife to live her life. So we cannot buy health. What Allah gave us is something money cannot replace. Allah is Al-Jawad, giver, endless giver. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Ghafoor. Someone who cancels out sins and forgives them. Ghafoor. Al-Jawadu. Al-Ghafoor. He gives you and forgives your sins. Many people who give people today, they will stop giving you when you offend them. Is it not true? Banu Adam. When a person gives you, you will say, hey, yes, sir, to him. Because he's giving you. What about Allah that gave him and that is also giving you? So Allah is Al-Jawad and Al-Ghafoor. When you offend those people that are giving you, you fear that something can happen. Or you don't fear. Some can say, oh, it is my boss, my guy in the office. Some give a lot of examples and excuses. Yes, this is from our nature. This is the nature of man. What about Allah, whose giving does not end? Yet, when we offend Him, who will go far? He will forgive. It's not bi ibadi anni ana al-ghafoor rahim. Allah says, not bi ibadi, tell my slave anni that certainly I am ana al-ghafoor. I am the one who forgives. Tell them ar-rahim. And then I show myself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to us al-jawadu. Al-Karim, Al-Jawadu, Al-Ghafoor. Jawad. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It says, Inna Allah Jawadun yuhibbul jud. Allah gives and He likes you to give. And that's why givers never lack. When you give, Allah will give you. Because Al-Jaza'u min jins al-amal. You will get the kind of reward of what you do. When you help people, you get help from Allah. When you are patient with people, Allah will be patient with you. When you overlook people, Allah will overlook for you. When you help people with resources, Allah will be helping you too with resources. So if you are Jawad, Allah will give you too jud. He will extend His jud to you. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Inna Allah Jawadun yuhibbul jud. Allah is Al-Jawad, the one who gives endlessly. Yuhibbul jud. He likes you to be giving people, be nominal. Allah likes it. So the Imam said, Rahimahullah, to give an evidence for what he had said, that ahata ilmuhu bil umur ko wa anfadha fi khalqihi sabiqa al-maqdur. وَهُوَ الْجَوَّادُ الْغَفُورُ. The evidence for that is Allah saying, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورُ. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. The meaning of خَائِنَة is from the word خِيَانَة, deception. So when you say خِيَانَةُ الْعَيْنِ, the way the deceptions of the eyes, what does it mean? Khiyanatul ayn. The lie, the deceit that the eyes play. How does the eye play deceit? The eye plays deceit by looking at things Allah has prohibited indirectly. This is something Allah has prohibited. He'll be doing like this. This eye is deceiving whoever is looking at it. Because that person may not know that that eye is looking at something Allah has prohibited. So that is kha'inat al-a'ayuni, the deceptive glances of the eye. Those deceit, those times when your heart hates a person and you are lacking, it's very common in Yoruba land. They'll be smiling, but in their heart, don't do that. This is part of nifaq. It is part of the things with which Allah described munafiqun. Their eyes will show something, but in their heart, fire is inside. It is part of kha'inatul a'yuni, deceit of the eyes. But Allah says, even when that eye is looking deceitfully, ya'alamuha. So know now, Allah knows. You see somebody to him, you behave as if you respect him. But your eyes indicate, your heart hates him. It's someone in your land and in other places anyway. That's why even in the greeting that they like best, to lie down. And it is prohibited for a person to lie down. We'll explain this matter. Sometimes people lie down so that they can kill the people they want to lie down. The sihir they made, the thing is that when they lie down, the person for whom they lie down, they want to kill him by Allah's permission. وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِمِنْ أَحَدٍ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. He explained this matter to you. So those things will only have effect by the permission of Allah. Otherwise, they done that for many people and nothing happened. And they will still do it to more people and nothing will happen. The point here is that Allah says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. Allah knows the deceptive glances of the eyes. When your eye is looking at Muharramat and you are behaving as if you are not seeing it, Allah knows. In fact, sometimes you may be talking about lowering the gaze and you are not lowering your gaze. You are deceiving yourself because Ya'lamuhu Allah. Allah knows. So when a man talks to women, he's always talking to women, oh, sister, oh, like whatever, it's common with people here. Someone else's wife, you're asking her epigenetics. So you've seen her, you should be seeing her every day. The woman should be coming to greet you every day. Because when you say epigenetics to somebody, an ikwana bi or kwana uku, you are saying that to somebody that ordinarily you should be seeing regularly. Ah, bamu genkapa, bamu iha duba. We didn't see you, we didn't see you, we didn't meet you. So you say kwana bi upa. 2 days or 3 days or kwana uku. So Yoruba say, oh, it's a jometa. With someone else's wife. So that time you are saying, it's a jometa, you are smiling. Where are you looking at? Fear Allah. Allah sees you. Ya alamu qa'inat al-ayuni. Those deceit, deceptive glances your eyes cast, Allah knows them. Allah knows them. Not only that, وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. What the heart conceal, يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ. Allah knows it. So the one you show openly, Allah sees it. The one you even keep in your heart, Allah knows it. Is it not then now sensible for you to look at what is only good and only to keep in your heart what is good? What will a sensible person do? Make his heart what is in his sadr to be good, and what his eyes will look at to be what? Good. Because when they are bad, Allah sees them and he documents them for you. All against you. May Allah protect us. So this is the point the Imam is explaining in this point. He says, Ahata ilmuhu bil umur. The knowledge of Allah covers all things. Wa ansaba fi khalqihi sabiq al maqdur. And he implements amongst his creatures what he had preordained on them. Wa huwa al-jawadul ghafur. And Allah is al-jawad, the endless giver, al-ghafur, the oft-forgiving. He forgives and removes the sins of his slaves. This Allah, ya'lamu kha'inat al-a'yuni. He knows the deceptive glances that the eyes cast. Wa ma tukhfi as-sudur. And what the heart conceal. So that is the point. The point is, Alin ala arshihi. Allah is high above his arsh. Fi majdihi in his glory. Bi zatihi in his essence. Wa huwa dani. And at the same time, he is close. Bi ilmihi. With his knowledge. Min khalqihi to his creatures. Ahata ilmuhu bil umur. His knowledge covers all things. Wa anfadha fi khalqihi, and he implements amongst his creatures sabiq al maqdur, the things that he had already preordained on them. Wa huwa al jawad, and Allah is the endless giver, al ghafur, the one who wipes away things and overlooks them. Ya'lamu qa'inat al a'yuni. He knows the deceptive looks of the eyes. وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. On everything that the soul conceals in itself. This is the first point of our book, شَرْحُ السُّنَّةِ by Imam al-Muzani. And that was the explanation, inshallah. I beg Almighty Allah to make us understand better than we had explained. I beg Allah to make it beneficial to the speaker and the listener in this dunya and akhirah. Because the benefit of listening to things like this, don't forget, is that they will make us be conscious of Allah. What I do openly, Allah sees it. What I do in the secret, Allah sees it. Allah knows it. So, أين المفر? Where will I run? Where will we run? لا مفر. There is nowhere to run to. It is كلا. لا مفر. There is nowhere to run to. إلى ربك يومئذ المستقر. Everything will go back to Allah and settle with Him. يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانِ. That is the day that mankind will get the information. يَوْمَئِذٍ. On that day, بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. About what he has put forward and put back. You know, we are putting for قَدَّمَ. Everything you do, you put forward good things. وَأَخَّرَ. And those things you put back what? بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. Mankind sees himself well. وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرًا. Even if he is giving himself excuses. We give ourselves excuses in Allah, say, yes, you are like that, but know that you come back to me. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day we shall go back to him. We pray to go back to him with iman and with taqwa. And we beg him subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we rise up firstly in our grave, may it be a rising of success for us. And on the day of resurrection, may he count us among the successful. We'll take one, two, few questions, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Hal fi ahli sunnah man qala inni la as'alullaha rahmatan ala abi hanifa wa ibn hajar. Hadhihi su'al fitna. Nanu la nujibu an misli hadhihi al-as'ila. Jazakallahu khairan. Please, can a woman divorce her husband? Don't do that. Marriage separation is a fitna of this zaman now. I tell you, we hear every day. We see every day. So, we have two duties to the people. Number one, to explain how to go about it. Because one of the evils is that people are even separating un-Islamically. Separation is bad, Abi, we don't want. It is even happening un-Islamically. So we should explain it so that whoever wants to do it will know how to do it. Because any person who separates from his wife un-Islamically will regret forever. The power still deserves us to say so. And it is one of the things that brings dunk to a person. In Surah Al-Talaq, what did he say? وَمَا يَتْعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. You see, حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فِي الطَّلَاقِ. The apple of, because Allah was talking about talaq, so he said, وَمَا يَتْعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. Whoever transgresses the bounds, the limits of Allah, ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. قَدْ, certainly that person has wronged his own soul. And this is the issue of divorce. If people are just divorcing, you see people carry the wife's bag and throw it out. She'll say, oh, I'm going to my father's house. Many things happen. So firstly, we have a right to explain to the people how to go about it. The second thing is, then we encourage the people on how to keep their marriage. Keep your marriage. Be patient. If you go out of this one thinking that the next one will be better, don't be surprised. You may be moving from fry pan to fire. So, when questions like this come, don't sleep. Just know that it's part of the issues that the times we are in have. Can a woman divorce her husband? No, a woman cannot divorce a man. Talaq, Allah has not placed it in the hands of a woman. Allah placed it in the hands of a man. Even when she says, I am tired, she goes to a court. the man will still be required to release her. So a woman cannot say she is divorcing her husband. So whenever, each time they have misunderstanding, the man continues to say, I leave you for Allah to judge. So when a man says that, we will just be appealing to the man not to be saying that. It's a very big statement. When you leave her for Allah to judge, you have given her for the lion to eat. You people say in your adage, I'm saying that according to your adage, that you don't leave your child for a lion to eat, Abi. You leave the person to a more severe punishment. Well, it's okay. Allah will judge between us. It's a big statement. If you love and have mercy for your wife, please don't say it to her again. Although sometimes when the women come with their fitna, you say this one 10 times. 10. In fact, you be saying, may Allah judge between us, may Allah judge between us. You be counting it. So that you want to be sure that Allah will judge you. But we should understand, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma taraktu ba'di fitnatan. I have not left anything after me that is difficult for the men like women. Adaru, dora, difficulty, harm, affliction. That can bring affliction to a man like woman, that thing does not exist. So it means when you live with them, you be patient. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَاسْتَوْسُ بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. So please try to deal with them well. In narration, he said, هِيَ لَا تَسْتَكِيمُ لَكَ عَلَىٰ طَرِيقَةٍ وَاحِدًا فَهِيَ هَكَذَا وَهَكَذَا. No matter how good your wife is, she cannot continue to be good all day. Your wife will be good, 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 good. One day she will do it like this. You will not know. You can't say bad. You will say, what, 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 what? The brain will roll sometimes when they bring fitna. May Allah protect us. So we encourage us to be patient. We understand that the women can do that. They can infuriate a man to the extent that he begins to say, may Allah judge between us. But let us send that mercy with justice. Let us try to be so merciful to women. Please, for the sake of Allah. The same thing a man. For some women, the fitna is their man, their husband. So likewise, the woman too should please, for Allah's sake, not be repeating, I leave you to Allah to judge. When Allah is judging it, if he has actually wronged you, you too, you will pity him more. It will meet you, because if it's in the hospital, you'll be the one sleeping in the hospital with him. Abu, sorry, make I bring water, make I bring coke, make I bring... You'll be asking 15 questions per minute. So, you see now that men have to be patient with women, and the women have to be patient with their husbands. The matter is really one that is volatile, but deserves utmost care. Disagreement at home. Amen, we have to be patient. Let me say something here. If our wives say to us, how will we feel? She looks at her and she says, what? How will you feel? He said, you're abusing my sunnah, she's not abusing your sunnah, she's abusing you. There's an authentic hadith that once Aisha radiallahu anha said to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, you who say you are a prophet. He did not kill her. That's why, husband, what? If another woman or man said it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will become a kafir, the wife will say it and nothing will happen. He left them for 30 days. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu, he left his wife for 30 days. On the 29th day, he came down from the ceiling because he does not have a room. For your information, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam does not have a personal room. So he slept on the ceiling of his house for 29 days. When he came down, he wanted to enter the house. Aisha came and said, ah, you never had it 1 month, too. You don't need 1 month. That is it. Radiallahu anha. If now you, now what thing you go do? Some brothers will say, Bobo, yeah. As-sabr, as-sabr, diya, patience. This is the best human being, oh. And that is, those are the best women, oh. So I don't know what your wife will say to you today that you will not be patient. I tell you, you should be patient with them. They can say anything to you. Let's come down a little bit. There's Yoruba history in Oyo Empire here. One of the Alaafin, it was said that everybody respected him, feared him, and all that. So they said one day his wife said, look at this, your head, that. You know, can't they do that to you? Your wife, Peshe, can't she do that to Jonathan? They see your head, bam! Patience, Jonathan. She can't do that to Jonathan on their bed, in their house. They see the one where everybody, they say yes, sir, to excellency. You give them, bam! If she does that, which is the SSS that we judge the case? That is how marital life is. That is how men are in the hand of their wives. And when she does it, she'll be laughing. You say, same now, Lembari, when I say, Tawani, who are you? She, who is she? So she should be patient. To be very patient with them. So it was said that the woman did that, Olori did that to Alaafin. See his head. See the one where people they fear. Bang! On his head. Tell me, you say, yes. What are you going to do? You give him another one first. So in Yoruba folklore, it was said that the Alaafin sent the soldiers to go and cut off the head of her father and bring it to him in a calabash, covered. So when they placed it somewhere, he came, say, oh, Lord, come. He came. Say, I have one calabash somewhere, go and bring it. She went and brought it. She opened it. She said, hey, my father said, yes, that is why people are afraid of me. I want to show you that that is why people are afraid of me. That does not mean that that same day she will not still slap his head again. So men, we need to be patient with our wives. And women, we need to be patient with our husbands. May Allah make things easy for us. May Allah help us sustain our marriage. We'll take a few more questions. Okay, Abu Bilal. No. What is the role of precaution and negligence regarding qada? The time that the man will not take precaution, Allah has known that he will not take precaution. And Allah has written it down that he will not take precaution. The time that the man will be negligent, Allah has known that the man will be negligent. And Allah has written it down that he will be negligent. The question, was it Allah that made him negligent? No, he chose to be negligent. How? I give you a simile. A teacher in the class knows his best students. Go. So during the exam, the exam hall, they are all clutching their brains, writing the exam with seriousness. He passes by the students and looks into the work. From that time, the teacher begins to form an impression who will pass and who will fail. So when they come out of the exam, I say, you will fail, like that. Is it the teacher that made them pass and fail? He didn't make them pass and fail. He taught everybody equally. Just like the Quran has come to every person. Equally. The Anbiya have come to call people equally. The Rusul came to call people equally. But Allah knew those who will accept and those who will not accept. Like the teacher, for example, will know who are the best, who will pass, who will not pass. But is it the teacher that wrote the exam for the one who passed? Is it the one who wrote for the exam for the one who failed? Even though the teacher had known that they will pass and fail. So if the knowledge of the teacher is like this, what about the knowledge of the creator of the teacher? So negligence, precautions, the negligence and the one who has not taken precautions pay for the consequences of their negligence. That is why there is fire and al-jannah. Al-jannah for the one who took precaution. Jahannam for the one who was negligent. Otherwise, they would not have been punished. It would have been unfair to punish them. But because they were the ones who were actually, that's why Allah said, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنْفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. We were not unfair to them. They were the ones who were unfair to themselves. I hope that it is explained, inshallah. You, Musafir. You too, you are Musafir. Let this Musafir, Abu Abdul Makan. I ask you. لا يرد القضاء إلا الدعاء. Nothing changes قضاء except supplication. The ulama say that will change itself is in the knowledge of Allah, and that it is written down too. That this one will be written for him, and then another one will be written for him. Because those two things have not happened at the same time. There is time lapse between them. And they are all part of the future. One future, one says this person, super thing will happen to him. And that he will also make supplication is in the knowledge of Allah. And it is also written down. So he supplicated. And that supplication will be granted for what he or she wants had also been known by Allah and written down. So it happens like that. All of them within the ambience of the knowledge of Allah and what he had written down, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, how do we know that the Qadar has changed? You don't need to bother yourself about that, because Qadar is Allah's secret. You can't know it. And he has told you that, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. So the one that he wants you to know is the one that the dua changed. The one that was there before, he didn't want you to know it. That was why it did not happen. Because from the things that make us know Qadar is that when they happen, when a thing happens, you now know that this thing was in the Qadar. When they did not happen, you cannot say that we are sitting here is part of Qadar. Why? Because it has happened. That was why he says, وَأَنْفَذَ فِي خَلْكِهِ صَادِقَ الْمَقْدُورِ. Allah is implementing amongst his creatures what had already been written down. As we are sitting here, it is part of the implementation مِنْ صَادِقِ مَقْدُورِهِ. From the thing that he had preordained is that we will sit here today. So he made us to know that this one we are doing is part of Qadar. When a thing happens, you know that it is part of Qadar. Before it happens, we cannot know Qadar. The only one who knows a Qadar before they happen is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another Musaf. A woman wants to make a decision. it falls within the time that she's making her menstruation. Can her husband make the istikhara for her? No. So what will she do? She will leave out the raka'atay, or the two raka'at of Salatul Istikhara, and she will make the dua. She will leave the salat, she will make the dua of istikhara, and it is allowed to make the dua of istikhara even when she's menstruating. Inna Allah jawadun yuhibbu al-jood. This hadith is in Sahih al-Jami of Sheikh al-Albani. It's also in Hilliyat al-Awliya by Imam Abu Nu'aym al-Asbahani. The last question. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. How can and just what? How can a Muslim remove and revoke an unjust government? Can we revoke a government? Does revoke, verb, revote, that is reappoint, reinstall, revolt, R-E-V-O-L-T. In many ways, when you are gifting with your friends, you start abusing the government. It's part of revolt in Islam. You are talking to your friends, especially if it's a Muslim government. You start saying, you see that woman we are at war, God will punish her. The way people speak is part of revolt. Salafus Salih consider speaking evil of him in the private as part of that. Except if you are telling a scholar, perhaps the scholar is the one who will talk to him in the khutbah, Ustaz, Sheikh or Imam. This leader did something yesterday, please. Because you can educate and correct leaders in two ways. Either generally as you correct all people. Maybe the leader feels. So as an Imam, you come to announce that on the minbar Yawm al-Jumma, when he's sitting down here, that stealing is bad. So, you know, you are talking to him and you are talking to others too. That is general. Or you go to him in his privacy and say, Oga President, or Oga whatever, this, Allah hates it in a nice manner. That's all. So, revolt comes in all other ways that contradict this way. So when people go out and start shouting, we know they are revolting against the government. And Islam prohibits it. Including strikes. Are we aware? Strikes are part of revolt. And Islam does not support it. And the pious predecessors would say, when a people revolt and remove their leader, Allah makes them suffer for it. In the countries where they have killed their presidents, have they now known peace? They have known peace now, ko? They have known peace in Libya, ko? They have known in Tunisia, ko? They have known in Egypt, ko? They have known in Syria, ko? They have known in Yemen, ko? Wherever people revolt, there had been no peace. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he said, revolts have taken more lives of people than any other thing since the history of mankind. When you revolt, they say, kill all of them. Two people start killing. Look at what is happening in Syria. Would you imagine that a government would be bombing its people? Spraying chemical weapons, like they say, against the people. Poisoning the water that they drink. But the man, Kasabat Aydinna, that is the result of their own revolt. If they had been told don't revolt, they would say, oh, you did safari, you don't like jihad. You have seen it now. فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ. You are the one who are saying, we want to die, we want to die, we want to die. Now you see death.
وأنتم تنظرون. You open your eyes now, looking.
So don't revolt. Egypt during Mubarak has known more peace than Egypt today. True or false? The same thing in Libya. They've not even been able to establish a government. So don't revolt, it's Biru. That's why Banu Israel could have revolted against Firaun. They had the power. They had the number. They had the experience. And they had a government. They had constitution. Musa was there with them. But what did Allah say? وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. We made them to rule over Egypt at the end of the day because they were patient. So with patience, did Allah remove Fir'aun or not? If they told an average Banu Israel that Allah will remove Fir'aun, what will he say? So when the ulama say, be patient with your leader, and pray to Allah, Allah will remove them. Some people say, till when? Wait till Allah's time. It's just like Banu Israel. Musa said, be patient. Said, when? When said, be patient? Even when they were at the tip of the Red Sea, Banu Israel did not know what will happen. And Fir'aun was coming. Wallahi, it's fitna. This is Fir'aun. And he has led all his army. Everybody came out with Commander-in-Chief, G-C-O-N. G-C-O. Everybody came out. So they say, oh, Musa, see, oh, Fir'aun is coming, oh, see, where would we go to? Why did you not leave us where we are before? What did he say? Kalla inna ma'iya rabbi sayadi. Don't worry, my Lord is with me and he will guide me. That is, he will tell me the next thing to do. Meaning that at that time, he himself did not know what he will do. Allah said, I have touched the sea with your staff. He didn't know. He asked Allah, so what will happen? Say Allah, so if I touch it, what will happen? He didn't ask Allah that question. Because he's following, he says, Ma'iya Rabbi Sayyadi. So when Hidayah came, he does not reject it. So he touched it. Bam. And before his eyes, the sea opened. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al Husayni and others, Al Imam ibn Kathir in Qisas Al Anbiya, also in Al Bidayah wa Nihaya, he said Allah made the sea so dry on the ground that when they walked, no water touched their body. Ibn Kathir said, Rahimahullah, that because it created 12 roots, 12, for the 12 tribes of Banu Israel, the 12 children of Yaqub, each of them had a road, and they knew the road each person will pass through. You now your road with this, you now your road with this, you see our road. Out of the power of Allah. And Allah made them so that they will not be afraid in route 1. What is happening to the people in route 2? So Allah made them to have glasses, like they could see in between. Ibn Kathir said this in Al-Bidayah. That those on each road could see through the sea, so that they can see what is happening to their brothers and be calm as they walk in the sea. Now see what Allah did. When they had almost come out, they saw Fir'aun coming from the other end. Musa was wanting to touch the sea with his staff. Allah says, Fatukim bahra rahawa. Leave it, don't touch it. If it you are the one, how will you feel? He wanted to touch it before Fir'aun. Oh, yeah, 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 come, they are coming. Oh, yeah. Allah said, leave the sea. Leave the sea as it is. You come out. Leave them. Let them come. Shabi, he says, is an ilah. He says, is Rabb. Let him come. So Fir'aun came. فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. فلما آسفونا انتقمنا منهم. Allah said, they annoyed us, we took revenge against them. What we are saying, thereafter all the cities, all the rivers, كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ, all the cities, all the vegetation, all the rivers belong to who? وَأَوْرَثْنَاهَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, we gave them all to Bani Israel, go and own it. Allah removed Fir'aun and all the powerful people. You know those who are remaining? They are beautiful wives. And Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he said when Banu Israel came back, the Egyptians who were slaves or who were downtrodden, they were the ones who started marrying the wives of commander-in-chief, the wife of chief of army staff, the wife of Lieutenant Colonel. The road cleaners were marrying the wives of the rich people who had perished with Fir'aun. And he said that is the reason why, since the history of Fir'aun, the average Egyptian woman wants to lord over her husband. So that was the beginning, when the average Egyptian woman wants to lord over her husband. Because when they came back after the destruction of Fir'aun, nobody was there to marry the women that are rich, the wives of those rich men that had been destroyed, except the lower people. So you know, those women will still be controlling them. Yes, he is her husband, but he will be under her control. That is what in the north we refer to as Mijin Hajia. Mijin Hajia, that is the husband of Elijah. You know, Elijah will be controlling him. He's not coming. Mijin Hajia. The point of reference is that Banu Israel was patient. Allah removed Fir'aun. Not only Fir'aun, every person that was powerful, Allah removed him with Fir'aun. So some people, because of weak iman and low knowledge, low reliance on Allah, they will say, you this Abba, you are saying that we should be patient. For how long are we going to be patient? For this. Be patient. The time of Allah will decide, he will take the leader and bring a new one for you. We'll stop here, inshallah, because I had promised that would be the last question. أقول ما أقول وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.